All right, Rabbosai, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Kuf Zayin 107. We are picking up on the last line, or second to last line, on Kuf Vav Amud Beis 106b. Our shir this week is sponsored by Dr. and Mrs. Gartenhouse from the Swiss of Refush Lehner for Orit Penina Bas Meira. We hope that she, together with Kol Chole Yisrael, has a complete and enduring refuah. Thank you for the sponsorship. So Rabbosai, let's begin. Great halacha today. Amar Rav. Note, we'll say second to last line, Kuf Vav Amud Beis 106b. Notel Adam Eshtei Yadav Shachris, U'masn Aleim Kol Yom Kulor. We'll say this halacha is like music to the ears. What could a person do? A person could wash their hands in the morning and make a tenai that washing should suffice throughout the entire day. This is, comes in handy. Let's say you have a couple of simchas to go to in one day. All right, so Hashem, what can you do? You wash your hands in the morning, and you make it tonight that the hand washing should work throughout the entire day, covering everything you're going to eat throughout the day. Rashi says, "Aver masna lachila." Rashi says, again, you could wash your hands in the morning, and make a tonight that this washing should count to cover all of the eating I'm going to go through the day. However, there's a very important caveat, Rashi says, "Obilvat shi yizaher milatanfam umilatamam." However, again, this requires me to be constantly vigilant about my hands throughout the day, making sure that I don't touch anything unclean, or if for that matter, any covered part of the body. Obviously, so if a person washes in the morning and has in mind that washing should cover them throughout the entire day and is vigilant regarding their hands throughout the entire day, then einachinami, one washing could suffice for the day. We're going to clarify this. Amrlu Rabbi Avina libnei Piksa. So we'll say ultimately again, Rabbi Avina said to the people who lived in Piksa de Arvos, in the valley of Arvos, he said to them, kigon asun, this halach applies to people like you, so to people like you who lives in this Piksa Valley, so ultimately, again, this halach applies to you. Why? Because water is very scarce. Therefore, what should you guys do? Mashu yadaychu mitzafra, wash your hands in the morning, va'asnu alayhu, and go ahead and make it tonight when you wash, l'kula yoma, and ultimately, again, your washing should suffice throughout the entire day. So we'll say, what's happening over here is Rabbi Avina says that the statement of Rav, he's qualifying the statement of Rav, and he's saying that's halacha, that you could wash in the morning and it counts throughout the day, that only applies in circumstances of need, like where there's a scarcity of water. But stam halacha is that you should go ahead and wash every time before you eat. Ike da'amri, others explain, b'shas hadchak inshalo, b'shas hadchak lo. Others explain that this halacha applies in extenuating circumstances, but doesn't apply or cannot be applied in non-extenuating circumstances. Upliga de Rav. And I will say, this approach would argue on Rav, because if you notice again, when Rav said this halacha, he did not qualify it. Rav just said straight that you could wash your hands in the morning with a tanai, with a condition that it should last throughout the entire day, and he did not give any type of qualification that this is only if water is scarce. So therefore, again, Rav Avina's qualification ultimately argues on Rav Vikadamri, afilu shalo b'shas hadchak, nami v'hainu d'rav. Others explain that no, that this halacha applies to Rabbosai in all circumstances, whether it's a shas hadchak because of scarcity of water, not a shas hadchak, whatever it is, halacha l'maisa, again, you could wash, and with the tanai you can go ahead and allow the washing to work the entire day. Amra Papa. So we'll say, so first of all, what's the halacha in this kind of situation? Because it's actually quite interesting. So we'll say, so the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is as follows. This is in Aruch Chaim Hilchos and the Tilas Hadayim Simin Kuf Samech Dalet Sif Aleph. No tel Adam Yodav Shachris U'mas Naleim Kol Ayom. Shulchan Aruch actually Paskin is this way. A person could go ahead and wash their hands in the morning, and with a tenai that this washing could work the entire day. Afilu Shalom B'Shas Adchak. Even non-extenuating circumstances. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like the pure sheet of Rav. However, we'll say there's a big qualification on this, which is why this never comes up. Obilvad shelo yasiach daito mehem. A person has to be constantly vigilant about their hands the entire time. So we'll say, so ultimately again, so really it requires that there be no hesech hadas. So because that is highly unlikely throughout an entire day, a person is not going to be vigilant, not to scratch their head. Well, so that's what it means. Literally, you can't scratch your head. You can't scratch a covered part of your arm. Right? So you can't touch your feet. So as I said, in all of these circumstances, ultimately, again, generally a person is not going to have hesach hadas. But again, on a technical level, talacha rav works. V'im mayim mitzuyim lo, However, there's another reason I will say why we don't apply this halacha, which is as follows. That if water is available to you, so tov shiyachzer v'yital yadav avalo yivar. So we'll say if water is available to you, the Shulchan Aruch says that you should not avail yourself of this shita of Rav. So we'll say, so although the Shulchan Aruch technically paskins like Rav, really again the Shulchan Aruch says if you have water available to you, better not to rely on it. And furthermore, again, in order to even rely on it, l'chatchila, it requires you ultimately what? To go ahead and be constantly vigilant regarding, again, your hands over the course of the day. The Mishnah Berurah comments on this, and he says that the case of Rav Rabosa is talking about where you're doing the Tilas Adayim in the morning. This is Negelvasser, right? I'm doing the Tilas Adayim in the morning, and I have in mind when I do this Netilah that it should work throughout the day. But again, the Mishnah Berurah also says, technically speaking, it could work if you do this with a Netilah before you eat. So for example, if I'm about to eat breakfast and I'm having a bagel for breakfast and I wash my hands and I say, you know what, the washing that I do now, and I'm about to eat the bagel, the washing that I do now should count for me throughout the day. On a technical level, if a person is not masiach das, if a person does not have a lapse in concentration or awareness about his hands throughout the day, one washing could in fact suffice for the entire day. The Shulchan Aruch just says on a technical level it's usually not practical because a person has hesach hadas. Plus the Shulchan Aruch says if you don't have to rely on this and you have the ability to go ahead and wash each time before you eat, that is certainly preferable to do so. Okay, good. Weiter. Amra Papa. So also Papa says as follows. Well, see, now we're going to get into the interesting discussion over here about what we call koach gavra. Right? Then in order to go ahead and wash, have a proper netilah sedayim, you should be pouring the water yourself. Or I should say, the water should be poured by someone. Lav dafka, it has to be by me, but it should be poured by a person. Watch this. Here we go. Amra Papa. Hai arisa didaloi. So we'll say, Rashi says, of your arisa didaloi, tsinor, sheshovchen lo mayim min hayor, bidali, fumolach mayim lesolis. So we'll say, here we go. I have a river. And what happens, Michael? Don't worry about it. You don't have to spend time on it. I feel bad. So the Gemara says as follows. So I have a tsinor abosai, means I have a channel. There's a body of water, there's a river, and I've created a channel. The point of that channel is to channel water from the river, ultimately, again, to the fields. How do I get the water from the river to the channel? I bucket it out. So what's I say? I have a bucket, and I'm taking water from the river, pouring it into the channel. So watch this. Samra Papa, Hai Arisa Dali, Be'ein Notlin Mimena Maim Liadayim, Dilo Asu Mikoach Gavra. So what's I say? Here's the issue. Let's say I want to go ahead and wash my hands for a Suda in the water of the channel. So I can't do that. So I can't do it for two reasons. It doesn't work. Why? Rashi says, listen to this. So on one hand, there's not enough water in this channel to count as a mikvah. So therefore, again, I can't do tevila as yadayim. Furthermore, again, I can't just go ahead and use this water. I will say why. Because this water is not considered to be koach gavra. Koach gavra means the water has to be poured through human force on my hands in order to go ahead and count as an atila as yadayim. Already, again, if I'm putting my hands in this channel, already, again, the act of pouring has occurred. And therefore, halacha lemaaseh, it's not considered to be koach gavra. However, vi mekariv legabe dola dekasu mikoach gavra notlin mimena liyadayim. But I will say what I can do is if I have my hands in the channel, right, and ultimately again my hands are right by the spot where the guy is pouring in the water in the bucket or the water from the bucket, then einachinami that counts as koach gavra and I can wash my hands. This, well, so this is actually a very, very, very important halacha in the tilas yadayim. We require, again, koach gavra, human force. So what it's saying is like this. Now, interesting enough, what the Gemara is saying over here is, it doesn't have to be me who's pouring it, but it has to be poured from a person. So as I say, so essentially what the Gemara is saying is like this. If I go ahead and I wash my hands in the channel, but further down the channel, there's no koach gavra, it doesn't work. There's no human force, and ultimately, again, there's not enough water to count as a mikvah for tevilas yadayim. But if I go ahead and I wash my hands, essentially, up channel, I don't know if it's a technical word, but you understand, right at the beginning of the channel, where the individual is pouring in the water, then in Achinami, that water is coming in through Koach Gavra, through human force, and therefore, again, I can use it for Netilas Yadayim. V'bazia, dola, bekones mashke, melaf laifi umatbil baz hadan. So let's listen to this next case. Rashi says, V'bazia, dola, bekones mashke, kishanekev machnis mashke, godohu, k'tas v'kiluach ha'yotzi emeno nira, v'ashofek shofek tere piv l'tzinor, v'anekev mekaleach l'achorev l'erbo. So listen to this wild case. However, in the following situation, if when the individual who's drawing the water from the stream, or from the river, and it's pouring it into the bucket, so I'll say, if the bucket has a hole in it, and the hole is large enough to allow for a flowing out of water, watch this case. If, when I'm pouring the bucket, get ready for this, if we're pouring the bucket, so the water is pouring into the channel, but there's a stream because of the hole, that's also flowing back into the river, so I'll say, so what does that do? There's a stream flowing into the river, while there's a simultaneous stream flowing into the channel. What does that do? What does that do? That connects the river with the channel, endows the channel with the properties of the river. The river, we're assuming, has the shear of a mikvah, and a person would be able to go ahead and properly be told with their hands in the channel as well. Incredible. So the Gemara says, I'm Rava. Rava says as follows. So the takeaway from this is that when washing one's hands, and we're going to discuss this in greater depth, but when washing one's hands, one requires koach gavra. It requires human force. This is exceptionally important. Exceptionally important. Vam Rava. Rava says as follows. Kli shenikav bekones mashke, einot l'menali adayim. We'll say another halacha. If you have a utensil, ultimately, again, a kli, that halacha l'maisa has a hole. And the hole, ultimately, again, is large enough so that if you were to go ahead and submerse that kli in, let's say, a utensil of water, the water would rush into the kli. Then I will say that is not a kli that is fit for netilas yadayim. Why? Because a kli that has a hole that is large enough to take on water, I will say, loses its designation as a kli. What is the Gemara telling me? That for netilas yadayim, I will say, I need a kli. I need a utensil. So we just learned that, number one, you need koach gavra. You need human force. Number two, I need a kli. I need a utensil. Vama Rava, Rava says, kli she'in bo revias, einot l'menali yadayim. Similarly, Rava says that if you have a kli, that I will say, doesn't have a revias in it. If the kli, so we'll say, for our purposes, 3.5 ounces, right? If the kli doesn't hold 3.5 ounces, then ultimately, again, einot l'menali. So we'll say, what we're seeing over here is something very interesting. That the minimum amount of water to be used for netilas yadayim ultimately is what? Is a revias. Now the truth is, based on the way we paskin yesterday, that you're really supposed to wash up until the wrist, right? You really need more than that. But b'di'evet, the minimum amount of water that you're going to go ahead and use for netilas yadayim ultimately, again, is revias. So if you have a utensil that does not hold a revias, halacha l'maisa, that is not a good enough utensil ultimately for netilas yadayim. Klisha in revias in l'menei yadayim. Ini, is that true? So I'm sorry. Vamar Rava klisha in l'bo revias l'menei yadayim. Ini, is that so? Vamar Rava. Rava said klisha in machzik revias. So Rava said that if you have a kli utensil that does not hold a revias, ein notlin mimenali yadayim. Ultimately, again, you cannot use it for netilas yadayim. Ha machzik. Rabbi say, what do you see from here? That if you now Rabbi say, what's interesting over here is as follows: the Gemara's lashon over here, Rava's lashon is that you need a kli that is machzik a revius. Machzik a revius means what? Capable of holding a revius. What doesn't necessarily mean? It doesn't necessarily mean that it actually has a revius of water in it. So we can infer from here, ha machzik. Afagav the less bay. We'll say ultimately again, I can infer from this that if it holds a revius, even if it doesn't actively have a revius in it, this should work. To which the Gemara says, Lokasha. We'll say, get ready for this. Halachad halachre. We'll say, this is an incredible halacha. One is talking about washing for one person, one is talking about washing for two people. What does this mean, we'll say? Disanya, here we go. May revius, we'll say, if you have a revius of water, notlin liadayim liachot vafilu lishtayim. Rabbi will say, one revius of water is enough for the hand washing of one person, and it even works for two people. Okay, so the Gemara will say, what exactly does this mean? Ultimately, so we'll say, here you have Rav Sheshes saying to Amimar, Kavedasa Amana, Rebbe, are you makbid to have a complete kli? We're going to come back to the two people with one revius in just a moment. Rebbe, are you makbid to wash from a kli? Amarle, in. He said, yes, I am makbid to wash from a kli. Achazusa in. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Achazusa, are you makbid on the chazusa? We'll say, are you makbid on the appearance of the water? That the water look like water as opposed to looking like another liquid? Amarle, in. Yes, a makbid, that water used for washing. Ultimately, look for water. Ashiura, Rebbe, are you makbid on the shear that you need at least a revius of water for washing? Amar le'in. He said, yes, I'm makbid. So we'll say, so he was makbid on all three of these things. Number one, that you use a kli. Number two, ultimately, that the water looks like water. And number three, ultimately, that's what? That you have at least a revius of water. Ikeda amri, others have a different version of this exchange. Ikeda amri, hachi amar le'in. This is what he said to him. Amana v'achazusa kaptinon. I am makbid on the use of a kli, and I am makbid that the water has the appearance of water. Ashir lo kaptinon, but I'm not so makbid on the shear of a revius. I will say, now what does that mean? Here we go. This sanyo, may revius, notably, adayim le'echad, vafilu l'shnayim. This is a wild halacha, that you could use water that is a revius, and from a revius, you could wash your hands for one person, and you could even use the same revius for two people. So we'll say, what this is saying is, not only is a revius enough for one person, but a revius is enough for two people. We're going to see what this means in just a moment. Velohi. And I will say, what does this mean that one revius is enough for two people? This is an incredible halacha. Shiny hasam, mishum daka asum mishiyari tara. And I will say, the halacha is different over here. Why? Because the remnants of that one revius came from an original, what we call, that leftover water is what they call the shirayim of a revius. What does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Ashiyari revius, ashiyari mishiyari tara, about meikar zar shiva revius. Listen to this. What the Gemara is saying, we're both seemingly saying, is as follows. When you have a revius of water for netila sedayim, that represents a unit of netila. Because it represents a unit of netila, Sebo says, we're going to see, not only could it work for one person, but it could work for two people as well. Why? Because once you have that unit of revius for netila sedayim, that has the status of a consecrated unit, and even if the second person uses it and doesn't get a full revius from it, it works. Then I will say, I'll tell you something amazing. Where does this kind of case come up? Get ready, I will say, for this. This is incredible. And this is halacha lemaisa. And again, these cases come up much more in circumstances where there is a scarcity of water. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, this is in Siman Kuf Samech Sif Yudalit. Sarach Shei Maim Revius. So we'll say, so number one, we paskin that for Netila Sadaim, you need at least a Revius. So we'll say, it's so important that we're learning these halachas, because sometimes when we wash, you know, especially if we're hungry, you know, it kind of becomes like a much more like type of thing, you know, we're in and out. And we'll say, so first of all, you've seen, that's not right, because washing has to go until the knuckle, right? And second of all, I will say, you need to use, remember again, if you're washing correctly, you're using more than a Revius of water. You're definitely using more than a revius. The truth is, revius is enough to ultimately get you by if you're washing until the knuckles, right? But halacha l'maaseh, if you're washing until the wrist, you are using, you are, furthermore, again, I will say there is the concept ultimately, again, of a kli, use of a kli. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, tzarech shei mayim revius. You have to use at least a revius when washing. Vahani mili le'echad. Watch this, get ready for this, I will say. Aval lebeiz sheba'u litol ke'echad. Ha'acharon in tzarech. I will say, so where does this case come up? This case, because I will say, is incredible. Let's say you're in a situation where you have a scarcity of water. You're traveling, I will say, and you don't have access to water. And what happens? You know, you know how this works. You're traveling with your family. You're 15 minutes into the trip, and everybody needs to eat. So he needs to use the bathroom and needs to eat, right? Been in the car for 15 minutes. We'll say, what happens? You don't have access to water. So you have a water bottle, right? But there's not enough necessarily for everybody to wash on their own. So we'll say, the Shulchan Aruch says, what can you do? He says, you could, two people can wash simultaneously. So as I will say, if you imagine, you can go ahead and I could wash. So I will say, the way this works in the Shulchan Aruch's model is, I'm washing, and ultimately, again, someone else's hands are under mine. Now I will say, so what's going to happen? I'm going to get the revius, But what is the second person under me? The second person is going to get what? Less than a revius. So I say the halacha is ha'acharon in tzarech afilu b'ze'achar zeh or b'vach lo yafsek ha'kiluach. So also listen to this ketzad. How you revius mayim b'kli u'pashat echad yadav v'achar yutzak al yadav u'pashini u'pashat yadav lemata mimenu samoch l'rishon v'kiluach yored al yadav shal rishon al yadav shal sheni shalemata mimenu yedei shneihem tohoros. So we'll say on a technical level, halacha l'maaseh again, if I'm washing and someone else puts their hands either by the side of my hands or under my hands, so I'm getting a revius. I have to get a revius. The person under me, so to speak, is getting less than a revius. Halacha l'maaseh shchon ach paskins, it works. What I'm about to say, so the novelty over here is because once there is a unit of a revius for netilas yadayim, there is a proper unit for netilah. And if someone else wants to piggyback on my netilah, then ultimately, again, it works. No one's like, is this the chatilah? No, this is not the chatilah. Again, ideally, everybody should do their own netilah. Everybody should get their own revius. But again, it's one of those good halachos that's good to know in your back pocket in a circumstance of need. That if two people are washing together, as long as there is a unit of a revius, even though the second person is clearly not going to benefit from that full revius, as long as there is a non-stop flow from one to the other, ultimately, again, the netilah will work. Okay? Ask, well, let's go weiter. Askin Rav Yaakov Minar Pekod, Natla Bas Revi Asa. So also, now the Gemara just says that certain great Rabbanim used to prepare a kli for netilas and ayim, which held a revius. So they made sure again that the kli held the revius. Obviously, with our conventional day washing cups, you don't have to worry about this. But they prepared a utensil that had a revius. So Rav Yaakov of Nar Pekod, he went ahead and he prepared a glass utensil that held the revius. Ravashi Buhutzal Kuza Bas Reviasa. Ravashi and Hutzal went ahead and prepared an earthenware vessel which held the revius. Vamarava said Megufas Chavetz Shetekna. So actually, Rava says, if you went ahead and you took the cover of a barrel and you somehow manipulated, I guess, hollowed it out or chiseled it out, that it holds the revius, ultimately, again, you could use that as a kli. That becomes, even though the both said that lid of the barrel is not initially made to be a kli, if you hollow it out and you create the base kibble or receptacle in it, you could use it as a kli for netilas yadayim. So the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Achir Baisa, that supports this. Megufa chavis shetik no notli menali adayim. If you take the lid of the barrel of the kli and you hollow it out, you can use it as a kli for netilas adayim. Chemas ukefisha shetik non notli menali adayim. So then again, I will say, if you have different, these are different skins, right? These are, Rashi says, mine nodo shalor, different wine skins. If you filled up a wine skin and you put water in there, you can use it as a kli to wash your hands, right? The Gemara says, sak vakupa, but a sack and a box. Afapisha makablin, even if technically speaking, you could put water in there, inotil meheli adayim. These cannot be used as utensils for netilas. I will say, why not? Because again, remember, in the previous cases, ultimately you're making a proper utensil to go ahead and retain liquid. A sack and a box are never meant to retain liquid. They're usually meant to retain dry goods. Therefore, halach l'maisa, even if technically speaking it can retain the liquid, halach l'maisa does not work for netilas yadayim. Ba'iluhu, ma'u lech, we'll say, here we go. We'll say, this is a great case. Get ready for this. Ma'u li tot le'echol b'mapa. And we'll say, get ready. Can you go ahead? Perhaps one of the most well-used halachos, but no one actually knows if it's true. Right? So we'll say, so listen to this. So we'll say, get ready. So the Gemara asks, what happens if I don't handle the bread directly? But rather, again, what happens? I go ahead, so we'll say, I'm holding the bread in a cloth, in a mapa. So, do I have to wash for that or not? And really what the Gemara is asking is actually a different question. The Gemara is presupposing that if I don't touch the bread, I don't have to wash. The question is, are we concerned that even if you're holding it with a mapa, you may come to wash it, so we should make you wash regardless? So it's interesting. The shaila is, do I have to be concerned that if I'm holding the bread in a mapa, that I'm going to come to touch it, and therefore I should wash regardless? So it's almost presupposing that of course it works. If you don't directly handle the bread, you don't have to wash. So the Gemara says, Tashma, brings a story where this actually in Sukkah, when they gave to Rabbi Tzadok food, bread less than a kabeitza, notlo, he would wash, he would take it in a mapa, and he would eat it outside of the Sukkah, and he would not go ahead and make a bracha afterwards. My love, ha kabeitza bay netilas yadayim. So it does not mean that if it was a beitza, it would require ultimately again, it would require netilas yadayim. Dilma ha kabeitza bay sukkah bay bracha. Maybe no, all it means is that ultimately if it was a kabeitza food, it would require a sukkah and it would require a bracha. But ultimately, again, there's no rai here. But if you look at Rashi, kishnas lo rabbi tzadok, b'msecha sukkah, kishnas lo rabbi tzadok, ochel shupachos mikabeitza, notlo b'mapa, v'ochlo, v'lo haya yotel, no tel yadav, v'lo haya masricho sukkah, v'lo birchas amazon, to which the Gemara says, this case does not really bring a rai to us one way or the other. Tashma, the Shmuel ashkeche l'rav, dika achamapa, listen to this, it says, Shmuel found Rav, and Rav was eating bread in a mapa. He was holding the bread in a cloth. Amar lei, so Shmuel said to Rav, Avdin Kedain, is this how we act? Rashi says, so Shmuel said to Rav, Rebbe, is it really proper to eat bread without netilas yadayim? Just relying on the fact that you are holding the bread with a mapa. So what's happening over here in this case is Shmuel saw Rav holding the bread in a cloth. So Shmuel assumed that Rav did not wash, he didn't do the Tilas Yadayim, and that's why he's holding the bread in a cloth. Shmuel just asked Rav, Rebbe, is this really the proper approach to the Chatzila? So I could avoid washing, right? Is it really proper to go ahead and hold the bread in a cloth? Amarle, he says, no, you got it all wrong. Daiti kitzara alai. So I'll say ultimately again, so Rav says back to Shmuel, I washed. Aye, so why am I holding my bread in a cloth? Rashi says, Daiti kitzara istinis ani. I'm an istinis, right? I'm a bit, I'm a mifunak, as they say, right? I'm a bit fastidious, right? So what meaning? I don't, even when I wash, I don't like to touch the bread directly with my hands, right? It's like, it's a germ factor, a cleanliness factor, whatever it is. I washed, someone says, it's amazing. So I'm saying, well, no, I didn't do as a dayim. I'm just happy to be holding the bread in a mapa because I'm a little bit tough on mifunak. Kisalak Rabbi Zira Ashkechinu Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi, Dikaachli Bavloi Chamasas. Let's listen to this. So I'm saying, Rabbi Zira came, he found Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi, and they are about to say we're eating their bread with worn out wineskins. Let me say that a little bit better. They were holding their bread with worn out wineskins. So they were not touching the bread directly. So Amr, Shrei Gavri Ravi Kavaseichu, Litu Bidrav Ushmuel. So ultimately again, so such great rabbis, are you going to make a mistake based on the halachos of Rav and Shmuel? So we'll say, ultimately again, same thing over here. Rabbi Zira assumed that Rabbi Anna and Rabbi Asi did not wash. And that's why they were holding their bread with the worn out wineskins. So he says to them, you're making a mistake because what are you bringing right from that case where Rav ate holding his bread in a mapa, but even Rav said, I washed, I'm just a bit fastidious. So the Gemara says, Ha daiti kitzara kam. Remember again, when Rav was eating his bread, ultimately, again, while holding in the map, it was only because he was a mifunak. Ishtamiti had Amr Rav Tachlifa Baravimi Amr Shmuel. He forgot the halacha that was said Rav Tachlifa Baravimi named Shmuel. Hitiru mapa lo'ochle truma, velo hitiru mapa lo'ochle tara. So let's listen to this. Interestingly enough, they permitted the use of a mapa by kohanim who eat truma, but not by those who eat their chulin bitara. We'll say, what's the pshat? Look at Rashi. Hitiru mapa lo'ochle truma. The Kohanim's reasoning below Nagi, below Etiru Le'ochle Chulein B'Tara Lefisha Inel Lumad Lisham Ne'akum Al-Kanab. Let's listen to this. The Gemara is suggesting over here as follows, that Halacha L'Maisa, Kohanim, are permitted to go ahead and eat their Truma while holding on to, I should say differently, Kohanim are permitted to go ahead and eat their Truma with a Mapa, and if you eat it in a Mapa, it doesn't require you ultimately to wash. But this does not apply to Yisraelim who are eating their chulin. Why not? Because in general, Kohanim, which makes sense, Kohanim are much more vigilant with the laws of Tuman Tara. So we trust that if a Kohen eats his truma with a mapa, he's not going to come to eat it. Yisrael, who's in general not makbid with the halachos of tum and tara, Sif Rabbah said, even if he's eating his bread with a mapa, we are concerned that he may still come to go ahead and eat it. Rabbi Am Rabbi Asi, Kohanim Havu. And Rabbi Rabbi Am Rabbi Asi were Kohanim, and therefore again we could trust that they were ultimately makbid to go ahead and eat these items without going ahead and touching them. Ibayiluhu. So Rabbi say, so it sounds like what we've established over here is that technically speaking, if one does not touch the bread directly, so one could avoid the obligation for Netilas Yadayim. Although again, the stories that we seem to support this don't really support that assertion. Rather, they point to people who are just a bit more fastidious in their personal conduct, and therefore again, even though they washed, did not want to touch the bread. Say, by the whom? Ocham machmas ma'achil. Sarach Netilas Yadayim. Listen to this interesting case. Let's say I'm not touching the bread. I'm being fed. Right? Someone's feeding me the bread. So I'm never touching it. Is there an obligation for Netilas Yadayim under those circumstances? So olo tashma, Rav Huna bar Schora, Havi Kai Kamei Rav Hanuna. So I'm going to say one time Rav Huna bar Schora was standing before Rav Hanuna. Balam le umso. He roasted for him a piece of meat. He wrapped the piece of meat in a piece of bread. Va'achil. And he fed it to him. Amar lei, ilav d'Rav Hanuna at, were you not Rav Hanuna, lo safim alecha, I would not feed you. We'll say, what's the pshat? My taima, lav mishum d'zar v'lo naga. It's probably because Rav Hanuna, Rabbi Yosef, was careful not to touch the bread when it was being fed to him, because he didn't do netila. So we'll say, ultimately again, my time, alav mishum d'zar v'lo naga, to which the Gemara says, lo, d'zariz kadim u'mashiyah d'meikar. No, it's just the opposite. It's because Rav Hanuna, even though he was not touching the bread, what did he do before he ate? What did he do? He washed. Rav Hanuna washed, even though, again, he was not going to touch, he was being fed, he was not going to touch the bread directly, but nevertheless, he washed prior to being fed. Tashma, d'rem Rabbi Zera Amarav, lo yitin adam prusa l'soch piv shal shamish. Supposed to listen to this. So Rabbi Zera said the name of Rav, a person should not go ahead and place a piece of bread into the mouth of the shamish. Ela imkein yodea bo shenat al yada. So we'll say this case seems to be quite explicit, that ultimately, again, a person should not place a piece of bread in the mouth of the shamish, unless, of course, he knows that the shamish did netilas yadayim. The shamish mevarech al kol kos v'kos. Furthermore, again, it's actually interesting halacha in Hilchos Brachos. A shamish, again, a shamish is like the waiter. So Rabbi Yosef, he makes a separate bracha on every single glass of wine. Rabbi Yosef, remember again, this is different. If you go ahead and you're partaking of a meal, and you make a brei pri hagafen on a glass of wine, you do not have to go ahead and make another bracha on every single kos. Why? Because one hagafen covers all of the wine you're going to drink over the course of the seuda. However, the shamish, the halacha is, has to make a separate bracha on every single cup of wine. I will say, why is that? This is because of what we call the din of nimlach. I will say, the shamish does not know, when he gets a glass of wine, he does not know what? That he's going to get anything else, because he's not a member of the suda. So because that, I will say, he doesn't have das, that when he makes his hagaf and it will cover everything else, because he has no expectation that anything else is going to come along. Therefore, again, I will say, Allah Kalamai, so when the second glass comes along, he makes a new bray priya gafen upon it. So the Gemara says, Vashamish arayach al kol kos v'kos, ve'inu mubarach al kol prusa prusa. But I will say, but he doesn't have to go ahead and make another bracha on every piece of bread that he gets. Why? Because I will say, one thing he could bet on is that he's going to get fed. In other words, I will say, part of the halacha of Suda etiquette is that you make sure you feed your shamish. Right? You make sure that you feed the waiter. So ultimately, again, he knows he's going to get bread. But I will say, just because he's going to get bread doesn't mean he's going to get what? Wine. Right? So I will say, that's a separate darga. So halacha lemaisa, again, once he makes a hamotzi, he doesn't have to make a separate hamotzi on subsequent pieces of bread because he knows he's going to get fed. But halacha lemaisa, again, with wine, he has to make a separate beer gafen on every single cup. So I will say, so says Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Varech Alkol Prusa Prusa. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, he even has to make a separate hamotzi on every single morsel of bread because he has no guarantee what he's going to get over the course of the Suda. Amar Papa, Rav Papa says, Bishlam Derav, Rabbi Yochanan Lo Kasha. So I will say, there is no contradiction between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Hadika Adam Chashuv, Hadalaka Adam Chashev. It will say, when there is an Adam Chashev, an important person at the meal, he will ensure that what? He will ensure that Halacha Lamaisa, the Shamish gets fed. So if there's an Adam Chashuv, then ultimately, again, the Shamash knows he's going to get fed. He doesn't have to make a separate bracha on every prusa. If there is no Adam Chashuv present, then maybe the Shamash is not sure if he's going to get fed. Therefore, he does have to go ahead and make a bracha on each morsel, which tells you something amazing. What's the definition of an Adam Chashuv? What's the definition of Adam Chashuv? The definition is someone who worries about others. Right? An Adam Chashuv is someone who doesn't just live for himself. An Adam Chashuv is someone who cares even about the waiter who is serving. Incredible. So the Gemara says, hi. So Mikom Akom Hakamar Elim Ken Yodesh Nati Yada. So I'll say ultimately again. But remember, what we'll say, let's focus on our sugya. What's our sugya here? What are we trying to figure out? We're trying to figure out that Allah Lamaisa, if you did not go ahead and touch the bread, are you mechuyev to go ahead and what? Are you mechuyev to go ahead and wash? So we'll say, what do you see from here? It seems to be clear that here, the halacha is yes. Because what do we say about the shamish? Even though, right, you could feed the shamish, literally feed the shamish, but you must know that what? That he washed his hands first. Therefore, you see what Rabbah says, see the halacha lemaisa, that even if you're not going to touch the bread directly, you are mechuyev ultimately again to wash before eating. Shiny shamish atarit. We'll say, the shamish might be different. Why? Because halacha lemaisa, because the shamish is tarid, because he's preoccupied with praying the suda, maybe again he can't be vigilant with the purity of his hands, that he's not going to end up touching something, therefore he has to wash. Tan rabbanon, lo yitin adam prusa l'shamish, bein shakos, b'yod ha-shabal ha-bayis. So we'll say, the halacha is, the Gemara says, interesting halacha, you should not give a piece of bread to the shamish, whether he is holding the cup of wine, whether the balabas is holding the cup of wine, shema ya'aver davar kalkala b'suda. So I'll say, this is a separate halacha, that in general, if you're a guest at someone's home, you should not feed the shamish ultimately without the permission of the balabas. Right? So if the balabas is drinking, you shouldn't, while he's drinking, you shouldn't go ahead and feed the shamish because of a concern that the balabas may choke when he's drinking. We saw this before. Shouldn't do anything, right? We saw this a couple of days ago. You shouldn't take something off the table when someone's drinking. Also, choking hazard. So the Gemara says, v'ashamish l'shalala not al yadav, asra l'itein prus l'soch piv. And I will say, if the shamish has not done the tilas yadayim, it is prohibited to put food into his mouth. So I will say, so therefore, what is it? It appears to me that halacha lemaisa what? Even if you're not going to touch the bread yourself, but you're going to eat the bread, it requires what? The tilas yadayim. Ibay lehu, I will say, what about the following? Ma'ach yil tzarech tilas yadayim, oh, eino tzarech. I will say, next case. What happens if I'm not eating, but I'm feeding bread to someone? I'm feeding bread to someone. Do I require netila if I'm not eating, but I am feeding? So what says the Gemara? Tashma, here we go, the Tani Devei Menashia. We'll say first white line, because I know the days, Rav Shingon Yalomer, Isha Madicha Es Yada, Achas B'mayim, V'nosenes Pas Lebnakad. We'll say Yom Kippur. Let's say a woman is fasting, but she has to feed a young child. She has to feed a young child. So we'll say, what's the halacha? She washes one hand in water and gives bread to her child. Now, we'll say, the idea is, we're not going to make her wash both hands. It's Yom Kippur. But she'll wash one hand. That's the minimum. So she washes the hand. So we'll say, what do you see from here? Ultimately, you see from what that was, that halacha lemaisa, that you have to do netilas yadayim, even if you're not eating, but you're feeding. So we'll say, they said about Shammai the elder, Shammai apparently again had a young child, and he did not want to wash his hand on Yom Kippur to feed the child. But the child needed to eat. The Gazra love Shiyocha b'shteyadav. And I will say, they forced him not only to wash one hand, they forced him to wash two hands in order to go ahead and feed the child. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, no, that case is different. Hasa mishum shifta. We'll say that was because of what we'll say shifta. Shifta, we'll say some type of spirit of impurity which devolves upon the hands if there's not proper netilas yadayim. So remember again, on Yom Kippur, because we're doing a very minimalist type of netilas yadayim, even in the morning, if you're going to handle food over the course of Yom Kippur, we make you do a netila because of this shifta. That's why I have to watch the Rabbah say, but there's no raya here regarding the general case that if I'm not eating, but I'm feeding, do I require a general tiyas adayim? But see, here we go. Tashma. Davua de Shmuel. Ashke chel Shmuel de Kabaka. What's an incredible story. One time Shmuel's father found him crying. Amr li amai kabachis. He said, my son, why are you crying? So to which little Shmuel answered, the machin rabbi, my Rebbe hit me. My Rebbe hit me, that's why I'm crying. Sa'amai. So why did Rebbe hit you? Right? So we'll say a different time where, right? It's interesting. Right? Shmuel, so his father's not upset. How could Rebbe hit you? He's saying, what did you do? Right? What did you do to deserve that? Amai. The Amarle, the Kasafis Librai Velo Mashi Yadei. Because my Rebbe said to me, so apparently young Shmuel gave food to the Rebbe's child, but Shmuel did not wash prior to feeding the Rebbe's son. So my Rebbe got upset at me, and he patched me because I did not wash prior to feeding his child. Va'amai lo mashis. So Shmuel's father is asking him, says, "Nu, so why didn't you wash your hands prior to feeding the child?" Amalei, so what says this? So little Shmuel says, "Hu achio va'ana mashina." He's eating, and I should have to wash. This is little Shmuel saying, "All right, why should I wash? I'm not the one eating." So Amalei, so Shmuel's father said, "You're absolutely right." So Amalei lo mistayid de lo gomer mimcha nami machi. So Shmuel's father said about the Rebbe, it's bad enough that he doesn't know his learning, but he hits kids also. All right, so we'll say, so ultimately, again, so the father really gave him a service. Bad enough that you don't know the halacha, but you're hitting children. So we'll say, hilchasa, and what indeed is the halacha? Ochel, machmas mach, yotzarach, tazayim. So we'll say, number one halacha is that, we'll say, if you are being fed and not touching the bread yourself, you still have to wash. That is halacha number one. And furthermore, again, ma'achil in otzarachim tazdayim. Rabbi say, but halacha lemaisa, if what? If you are feeding someone, you do not require an atila. So we'll say, so it turns out that halacha lemaisa, if you're eating bread, even if you're not touching it, you are going to require an atila siyadayim. But if you're feeding it, but not eating it, you do not have to go ahead and do an atila siyadayim. We'll say, just halacha lemaisa, what about the mapa case? Like, what do we do ultimately again? Is it indeed the halacha lemaisa that if you're not going to touch the bread, you don't require an atila? We'll say, so shulchan aruch pasuk is as follows. Im ein mayim mitzulim in the fun of berichok yosra me arba milin. We'll say, if you don't have water accessible to you, right, with a distance of 4 mil, ulachar of mil, yitol yodav bemapa, v'ochal pas. So we'll say, the halacha is that indeed, this is the halacha, we'll say, if you don't have access to water, ultimately, again, you could hold the bread in a mapa, and ultimately, again, you still recite Netilas Yadayim. I'm sorry. You still recite Hamotzi, not Netilas Yadayim. You still recite Pirkas Hamazon. But ultimately, again, you can eat without Netilas Yadayim. I will say, but I have to point out, because I think this halacha is often misunderstood. This is not a matter of convenience, right? This is not, we're traveling, and I don't want to stop the car, because if I stop the car, then what's going to happen, right? It's a 3-hour detour for everybody to use the bathroom, wash negelwasser, right? Spazier around. So let's just eat our sandwiches holding in the tinfoil. I both say that is not his halacha. The halacha is if water is not accessible, I'm traveling somewhere, or we're out somewhere, and mamish like, the water is not accessible, then einachinami, you could rely on this halacha to hold the bread in a mapa, thereby avoiding netila. But halacha maisa, if water is accessible in any way, one is obligated for the netila. All right, so we'll stop. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with the Mishnah tomorrow.